Stephen Barrett is a barrister at Radcliffe Chambers and a writer in The Spectator and joins me now. Now, Stephen, you've been looking at this case in detail. I read your piece a few days ago on it. What's your overarching view as to whether or not it's possible for these 4,000 laws to be reviewed and potentially abolished in such a short space of time?
Well, to be perfectly honest, Tom, I could do it in under a year. A professional law firm could probably do it in a month. I mean, what we're talking about here is a very basic exercise, and it really does just go to your ability as a lawyer. You're looking at all these laws. They say now that there are 4,000. They had an initial review where they found 2,500, but 10% of them had been deleted anyway. And then they say that the Office of National Statistics has found another 1,400. I've linked in my article to the publicly available sources. But all professional lawyers, or most of us, have a subscription to a professional service. I won't name it because I'm not advertising for it. But it's a very common service, and it's got a system where you can identify all of these retained EU laws. So we do know what they are. They're not mystery laws. A lot of them are not very exciting, but the exercise itself is not that dramatic. You're just going through them and you're putting them into three categories. You're saying, doesn't do anything, Minister, let's just get rid of it. You know, we're saying, might be quite interesting, Minister, I'm not sure. And you're saying, oh, Minister, actually, this looks pretty juicy. We probably need this in our law. And there's a provision in the bill that the minister then extends the life of that law. So this deadline of the end of this year, of the end of 2023, ministers have the power to extend it by effectively just over 3 years to June 2026. Now, that is, again, a pretty basic thing for any lawyer to be doing. There are 16 departments who are dealing with this. And it doesn't strike me as something that really is in any way impossible. And one of the things that we've seen since the Brexit referendum, and certainly since I started commenting in the media, is the way that people will invoke law, almost like a sort of Harry Potter magic spell, to stop things happening that they don't like. And it's easy to see why, and I linked in my article to a major Conservative Party donor and fellow member of the House of Lords, Lord Cruddas, who instantly saw this as a conspiracy to stop Brexit. You can see why people reach that conclusion. If the alternative is that our civil service is not capable of reviewing these 4,000 laws and putting them into one of three separate piles, then that itself is quite a distressing conclusion.
But it's your view that this is a task that is possible, at least even if a number of these laws do get into the sort of, oh, let's review this in 2026 sort of category, if a number of these are perhaps too complicated for the civil service to look over. In your view, this is not a conspiracy.
Well, I mean, it depends where we end up. I mean, are we going to seriously say that this task cannot be done? Because we started doing it last year. That's where the publicly available dashboard came from. And then everything seems to have ground to a total halt, which is why we've sort of only reviewed about 2,500 of them, and we've got 1,400 to even review in a preliminary way left to do. And it just seems as though no work is going on. I mean, we are already in 2023. So if we're going to do it by the end of 2023, we should start it. I mean, I pointed out that in my view, I would have the capacity to do it in a year, but I'd need to be instructed now. I wouldn't want to be told to do it, you know, in August. If we're going to do the task, then we need to get on and do it. But it's a perfectly doable task. There's nothing inherently challenging about it. And a lot of these things, then they're not very exciting laws in any way. Most of the, so I know that you take an interest in our mortgage market, quite right. And the EU took control of our mortgage market via a directive. Now, that was then put into an Act of Parliament. So they're not going to be looking at that. They're not going to be looking at any of the sort of really dramatic things that the EU took control of. This is pretty basic stuff. I mean, I was looking at one this morning that just deals with the infrastructure necessary for hydrogen-powered motor vehicles. I'm not aware that there are many hydrogen-powered motor vehicles. But of course, the Department of Transport will probably want to look at that and probably want to have some sort of UK-based law on hydrogen-powered motor vehicles. One I point out in the article or two of them, are to do with educational institutions which are inherently tied to EU membership. So we don't need specific laws setting out how we would join EU institutions unless we go back into the EU. So there is no obvious utility for it. It has no purpose. The oldest one I can find is from 1958. And it simply, it declares as law that any reference in EU law to an official language is to English. Now, it's really rather for the EU to decide what its official language is. It's probably not for us to tell them that their official language is English. So a lot of this is just dross.
Yes, carbuncles on the hull of SS Great Britain. Well, Stephen Barrett, I really hope that the Cabinet Office have been listening and that they might drop you a phone call, because it does sound like you understand this to a greater degree than a lot of those running government at the moment. Perhaps all of the turmoil in different ministers taking up different posts has delayed this process somewhat, but let's hope they can get their skates on and get it moving again. Stephen Barrett, for now, thank you very much for joining us on the briefing.